Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. We are positively here at Pizza John's. Read Luke's hat. It says Pizza John's on it. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I have the Magic 8 scratch-offs. These have been the lucky Magic 8. I don't know if it's going to be lucky once we get our way up to Toronto next week. Let me check the current weather forecast here for Luke and I. By the way, beautiful day here in Essex today. I mean, 51, sunny, a little gusty right now. But then I look up Toronto, Canada, Ontario, and it's a good thing they have a dome, Luke.
I was just going to say that.
Good thing they have a dome. We're going to land on Wednesday night. It's going to be 29 degrees. Thursday's going to get... The forecast has changed. It's gotten nicer. 44 degrees and partly sunny on Thursday.
Balmy.
So you can almost play baseball in that. And then Friday, because of the warm, all the snowflakes are gone on the little thing. It's 44 and rainy on Friday. And it's the low's 33, so it's not going to snow. Why you go to Canada? We're not going to get any snow. What? Now I'm disappointed. I got my mittens out. You know, I'm fixing my jacket up. Luke Jones and I are headed for opening day. Oriole baseball. One of us is a media member. I'll let you guess which one is. And we're going to be going north of the border. So baseball for you. We're going to have Dave Shine in here at Pete's John's. I've worn my Tony Gwynn jersey because I want to get into the spirit of things here. Where are you? Are you bullish on the Orioles, or are you feeling this momentum? You've been underwhelmed by the offseason. You, by the way, the guy with the press pass is the one that hates the team. I've been okay with the team this year, but go ahead.
I'm overall still optimistic about this club. I mean, there's still so much talent. There's still so much position talent. I think it's important to continue to recognize that amidst problems, or acknowledging that it was an underwhelming offseason. I think if I had told you in mid-October what their offseason would look like, you absolutely would have been underwhelmed by it. Now,
there would be nothing that would get me excited.
Right. I mean,
but from a competitive standpoint, from a money standpoint, I'm not arguing with what they did. I'm not.
And that's fair. That's fine. That said, now having gone through most of spring training, and as people are listening to you and I converse at the moment, perhaps some of these roster questions come into sharper focus. It's been a rough spring. I mean, let's face it. We're talking about a starting rotation where the upside was already in question, and you've since lost Grayson Rodriguez, at least for the beginning of the season. And on the bullpen side, I mean, Andrew Kittredge was signed to be a 7th/8th inning guy to kind of fit in there with Sir Anthony Dominguez and Yennier Cano, and understanding that Felix Bautista, at least early on, wasn't going to be back-to-back going multiple innings, expecting anything like what he was in 2023. But you've since lost Kittredge now for at least the first couple months of the season. I mean, they've already confirmed that. June's probably the best-case scenario for his return. And we're still kind of waiting and seeing whether Felix Bautista's really going to be on the opening day roster. There's been enough conjecture, enough looking at the gap in between some of these spring appearances. I mean, you're talking the last week of spring training, and he's, you know, going into the final weekend, a week between appearances.
It was crazy to think he was going to be throwing 99 by now.
Well, I disagree. Not so much about the 99 thing, but we're not talking about an expedited rehab here. I mean, this is someone who is...
Well, you hope it takes.
Close.
It didn't take with John Means and these other guys. I mean,
understood.
Right, yeah.
But at the same time, let's also not treat Tommy John surgery like it's 1991 either. It's an extremely high return rate, extremely high success rate. Now,
that's why they have it, right? Literally.
Right, exactly. Now, there's a wide range of outcomes of expecting Felix Bautista to pick up exactly where he left off in mid-August of 2023. That wasn't realistic. However, I'm not going to lie to you. If he starts the year on the IL, I've got some concerns here that go beyond, oh, you're just not going to pitch him back-to-back days, or he's not throwing 99, but he's throwing 97.
In other words, you're babying him now. That's concerning.
That's where it starts to feel a little more like, heaven forbid, that it's another John Means, as you alluded to. And now, I am not saying that with any sense of hearing that from the team or anything like that. I'm just looking at this from a practical standpoint of when you hear Tommy John surgery in this day and age, putting aside, you know, some innovations that have been made, you know, internal brace is something that hypothetically expedites the recovery process, it's still something that you view through the lens of 12 up to 18 months. He's much more towards 18 months at this point in time. So, and I say this as someone who sat in the Orioles press box 3 hours before game one of the wild card series last October 1st, and he threw a bullpen. Now, wasn't suggesting that he was ready to pitch in a major league game at that point in time, but you're thinking at that point, 6 months out from the start of the of 2025, there's no real reason to, barring a setback, something like that, no real reason.
There's been no setback to shut him down, though, right?
I mean, not to shut him down. And Brandon Hyde even said,
slow him down.
Right, right. And that's where there's just some, it's foggy, right? On Thursday, speaking to reporters in Sarasota, he was asked point blank if he was confident he was going to be on the 26-man roster for opening day. And, you know, at the very least, they're being very cautious, very evasive of how they're speaking about it. Now, we know this. We've talked about this.
Well, when they do that, they have no confidence,
well,
right?
Well, either that or they're just being kind of evasive for the sake of being evasive, because all teams now across sports are almost offended by questions about your team that might not be the most positive update or the most positive
That's why they threw me out.
Well, but there's definitely some question here. And again, if this were, for example, contrast this to Kyle Bradish or Tyler Wells, who both had Tommy John in the first half of last season. We're now talking in a best-case scenario. Maybe they can contribute at some point after the All-Star break. That's a 12 to 14-month time frame. If we're talking about Batista now at roughly 17 months since Tommy John surgery, and they're still slow playing it to this degree, it doesn't mean there's an injury per se, or that he's not going to pitch, or that he's not even going to pitch well at some point, but it does make me a little more concerned.
Can he get guys out next week?
Right.
That's the important thing.
And again,
right?
That doesn't, let's be clear, elbow injury or not, Felix Batista had a historic 2023. It's possible that he never does exactly that again, in the same way that when Zach Britton went a whole year without blowing a save, he never did that again in his career. But there's plenty of reason to expect him to still pitch at a high impact level.
How old is he? 26.
He's 29.
29.
Right. I mean, he's young.
He is a little old.
Remember, he
right?
was a late bloomer. Remember,
yeah.
he was a long time. He was a Dan Duquette signing.
Yeah.
You know, originally he was in their system quite a while, but I just look at it through the lens of, you know, if he's not even if you're going to hold him back from being ready for opening day, you know, that's different than saying, hey, we're not going to pitch him back to back days. We're
well,
not going to let him
they're
get
really
five
worried
outs.
About.
Right, so
yeah,
so you're either,
and if they're worried about him, we should be worried.
You know,
about
whether
him.
They're worried or whether it is truly just an abundance of caution, you know, that makes me have a little more concern there, because then you're talking, okay, if he's not quite ready, and let's say, you know, let's say for argument's sake that he is, but he can't go back to back days, he's not going to go multiple innings. We know that, right? And I agree with that. That's smart. At least early in the year, you shouldn't be pushing him like that. But even with that, the question becomes, all right, who's getting the ball in the ninth inning for the second night if it's back-to-back nights? Batista gets the save, and then they have a safe situation the following night. Sir Anthony Dominguez can't stop giving up home runs, something that we saw last year. And I'm a Dominguez guy, but go look at his spring lines. And I know that Grapefruit League performance
I was
is something,
a Cano guy until I wasn't. We're all bullpen guys until we're not. I mean, it does feel like such a short-lived sort
yeah.
of – you know, with every Brad Brock and every Zach, you know, any of
I mean,
these
it's
guys.
Right.
It is a 3 to 5 year sort of like, it's not an eternity for any of these guys to be throwing 99 and to get people out. Kirk Kimball will be the greatest example
yeah.
of that. Dominguez was given away by the Phillies last year. Orioles pick him up for $8 million, and they may regret that by May 31st.
Yeah, I mean, and to be clear, I mean, Dominguez was good for the first 7 weeks where he kind of was thrown into that role. And it's not like he had an awful September, but the one thing that made you take pause about him was his propensity for giving up the long ball. Well, in 4 of his first 6 spring outings, he gave up a home run. He's been scored in all but one of his spring outings. I'm not saying that you need to have a 2.1 spring ERA. Let's be very clear. Who are you talking to here? You know me.
But you want to hit your spots. You want to be healthy. You
yeah.
want to get your
it's
innings.
It's not enough
right.
to
yeah.
see – it's not enough to – it's not too much to expect, hey, let's see a couple clean outings here. And even Thursday night, he gives up a home run to Anthony Volpe on a hanging slider, you know, as Jim Palmer himself described it. So you kind of look at this, and Let me be clear, and look, we could go roll back the tape from, you know, if tape existed anymore, the MP3 of our conversation from late February. I was bullish and optimistic about this bullpen, assuming Batista was, at the very least, no question about his status for opening day, regardless of what
he
was going to look like.
Kittredge was an addition.
You had Kittredge, right. I was assuming a full offseason and being in the Orioles pitching program was going to help Dominguez, and it still could. Maybe he is ironing out the kinks. Again, I'm not saying they're doomed right now, but I'd be lying to you if I looked at this bullpen on the back of a rotation that, let's face it, doesn't have a whole lot of upside. You can get away with one or the other being shaky, but you don't want to start dumping games in April and May that are winnable games because your pitching just is not inspiring a lot of confidence. That's a way different argument than, oh, having a number one starter for game one of a postseason series, which you and I've talked about that a lot. They've got a lot of time to figure that out, and they have assets to figure that out at some point between now and the trade deadline. But
Kelly just brought us pizza. Thank you, Kelly.
Yeah, it was tough for me not to break my stride.
Can I get a hell yeah?
Talking here, yeah, but yeah, absolutely.
I would say this on the bullpen thing for me is it's such an emerging thing, and it's so fleeting that one minute you believe in a guy, and the next minute you don't.
That's true.
To me, that's. That's bullpen. That's baseball. That's kind of like the way it's always been in regard to us looking at it and saying, well, it might not be very good right now. I mean, this is where the Yenny or Cano's come in.
Yeah.
We were talking about Batista like this 3 years ago, right? Like Batista was kind of
an unknown 3 years ago at this time.
My point is that is bullpen.
Yeah.
That there's somebody unknown like Cano or Batista that's going to be better. And then there's the, oh, man, we gave all this money to Kittredge and we're sitting around and it's August and, like, he's not here. But it's a good thing that kid came up and it's a good thing Elias signed that Albert Suarez.
Yeah.
You know, there's always
Albert Suarez. He might end up being part of that picture.
Always a little
rotation.
Bit of that going on where pitchers emerge. You know, I remember going to training camp with Jamie Moyer when he was a washed-up relief pitcher, fourth organization. He pitched another 15 years. Yeah. So it does happen. You
it,
know,
does.
It does.
It does. I just feel
this pizza's going to happen once I get a plate.
It just feels like there's a little bit too much of that going on. When you consider where this team should be, back-to-back playoff appearances, they've won, 210 games or you know, 200 games over the last 2 years. Or no, 191 games over the last 2 years. Sorry. Mass off there. 102 or 202. Anyway.
I had a signal to Sue on video. I went like this. She's worked here so long, Sue, that I just go like this. I go, plate.
Yeah.
Plate. She knows. So here, we got plates.
There we go.
Fork and knife. You do a fork and knife because nobody eats Pizza John's with a fork and a knife, do they? I mean, they're going to throw me out of Essex for that, right? They're kicking my ass straight out to
I think it's fair when it's right out of the oven because it's hot.
All right, well.
But once I get to the second piece, yeah.
I want to say this. Thank you, Sue. Sue, how long you worked here, Sue?
26
years. Longer than Luke's been alive. This pizza here,
I
have never had this before. This is the meat sauce, right, and the pepperoni. Why meat sauce and pepperoni, Luke? Why?
Because it's the best.
This is what he loves, so I
mean, let's face it, Pizza John's pepperoni is pretty well known.
Well, I'm down.
Across
I'm
the area.
I'm going to have some of this right now.
The meat sauce is always my dad's favorite, and so I just combined the two.
So my wife texts me now and says, what are you doing? Eating pizza, talking baseball in Essex is what I'm doing. My thanks to Sue. Elbows up. Come see Sue. Come see everybody. Kelly, everybody here at Pizza John's is awesome. Well,
Thank you. I'll
mic you up in the next segment because Brett doesn't want any part of me today. So I need to talk to the people to really make things happen around here at Pizza John's. We're in Essex. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I have the Magic 8-Ball Scratch-Offs to give away. We're eating Luke's pizza today because, I mean, if you ordered anchovies, I'd eat the damn anchovies. I mean, there's
you
nothing
put, you're, you put everything
there's
on your
nothing
pizza.
You're going to put on a pizza at Pizza John's that I'm not going to eat. I even made you eat the pineapple, and you told me you liked it last time, but I didn't.
It's fine.
I know you didn't like it. When you say it's fine,
no.
It's fine is what you say
about
the Ravens' offensive line when it's not good enough. It's fine. Is what you say about it.
And can I go back because my math teachers would
well,
be laughing
gonna
at me.
Well, you're going to talk because I'm going to eat pizza.
But
go ahead.
I was trying to do the math, and the pizza got me all
I didn't come here
frazzled,
to do radio. I came here to eat pizza.
192 wins over the last 2 years. That was the total I was going for. But, yeah, I just – and you know I've been a Mike Elias guy for the most part. I've stood up for him. More so at times when others
he's been nicer to me than anybody in the organization.
Well, it has nothing to do with being nice. It just has to do with looking at his body of work. I think he's done a good body of work. I think the health, the overall state of this organization is in such a better place baseball operations wise
well,
than
see
it's been
that
at any point in my
when
life.
When they need relief pitching this summer, when they need a starter.
You say that. However, 2 summers ago, I remember having the conversation with you, even before Felix Bautista got hurt, that I wasn't sure that they had enough bullpen arms. And Felix Bautista got hurt, and Fujinami, the guy that was their trade deadline acquisition, wasn't even on the postseason roster. And last year, talking about it throughout, even going back before the season, I was skeptical about Craig Kimbrell doing the kind of heavy lifting that the Orioles expected him to do to replace Felix Bautista. And he didn't even make it through the year with the team. So I think if there's one area, even more so than just spending money and signing free agents to big contracts, and I understand angst and clamoring for that given where this team is at this point in time, and seeing Corbin Burnes and Anthony Santander walk out the door this offseason. But if there's one area that I feel they've left themselves a little too short at times, it's been the bullpen. Now, has that shown up in a way that they've lost playoff games directly because of their bullpen? No, but I think if you're trying to project it out and understanding what it takes to not just make the postseason, but then make a deep run in the postseason, you need 4, 5, 6 guys that you can really count on throwing into a game in just about any situation. And
it can't be Brian Baker.
Right, and that's my thing. We're talking about Brian Baker and guys like that.
Well, that's the point, that they keep
right
giving
now
guys tries. The 3rd, 4th, 5th guys in the bullpen, they don't send them out to Rochester, Norfolk.
Sure.
They bring them in.
Sure.
And they pitch.
So.
And sometimes they emerge, and sometimes they fail, right?
Yeah.
And even if they're successful, they're going to fail, because that's the part of you come into 10 games, you're going to be good 7 of them, bad 1 of them, and okay 2 of
right
them, even if you're good, right? So I think in the totality, my concern is how many innings the bullpen's going to need when they're signing starters that are – I mean, Charlie Morton's not going to make the 6th inning ever, right? On those nights – He's a 4 2/3, 5 1/3 guy.
Most of the time, yeah.
So
that's baseball. That's most teams.
And that's why
that's the depth
of the bullpen.
That's why you need
and
that.
This thought that the Phillies had the great bullpen last year, so good that they dealt 2 of their guys to us, that the notion of that is how deep you think you are right now. So what is the bullpen right now, as you see it? What is it?
Well, and that's where you kind of look at it and say, okay, is Felix Bautista going to be on the opening day roster? If he's not, I'll even buy okay. If he needs another week and you want to throw him at Norfolk for 2 more outings just because, okay. But what does that mean then? Where is Sir Anthony Dominguez at this point in time? Not in terms of him not making the roster, but in terms of how trustworthy he is. Who else is going to get the ball in the 9th inning? I mean, Andrew Kittredge was in that group. Yennier Cano can be in that group. We haven't seen him look too good in 9th inning opportunities the last couple years. And that's not even being a knock on him.
Well, not having Rodriguez is also going to cost them 7 to 10 innings every week that they're going to have to find in other places too, right?
Well, I mean, potentially, sure. I mean, again, it all adds up. But, look, I can deal with not having as much upside in the starting rotation in April, May, and June with the idea that you're going to evaluate and you have resources to upgrade at the trade deadline, as they did last year with Zach Eflin.
I love how you say that. They have resources to deal.
They do.
They have never had that.
They have prospects, and you would hope some more money they can add to the payroll if it's that kind of a
Your
picture.
Beard's grayed right now. Since before you shave, they haven't had they haven't had resources.
Yeah.
Whatever the financial trade, they have had none of that for 30 years.
Right.
They have both of that now, allegedly. I mean, you and I can argue about money bags is money all day long until he spends it. But
right.
The thought is, when you get pop off to me last week, well, $10 million for a relief pitcher, they better be able to afford that. I just know we've never done that in 30 years here, and I know half the teams in baseball don't do that ever. So the notion that going out and just signing $10 million relief pitchers in late March or early April, that is that there aren't a whole lot of teams that do that. They have to be a contending team to think about doing that. Let's start with that, right?
Yeah.
And they've never done that as an organization. So I do want to, and this would be for Katie Griggs and for all of them, I want to see them do things they've never done before as an ownership. I don't mean make a bobblehead out of an owner. I mean, like, What has changed here other than $5 beers in the Birdland menu? And where are those changes? And that's what I'm going to be writing to Katie Griggs and David Rubenstein and all of, like, what's different about this?
Sure.
Other than the fact that Peter's dead and Rubenstein's sitting there, if they're not going to spend the money, if they're not going to use the resources, if they're not going to do that, bring back John Angelos again, you know?
Well, you know, to bring it back to your question, though, about the bullpen, I mean, it's, you know, how is it going to look early on? And let me be clear, I'm not saying the bullpen stinks top to bottom. That's not at all what I'm saying here, but you need guys that slide into the proper roles, whether you're talking about, you know, what Keegan Aiken was last year, which was more of low leverage and medium, which he pitched really well in that role, but just about every time they threw him into higher leverage, he really struggled.
But he's in that role for the
right
reason.
Exactly, exactly. So you have guys like that. I mean, I've talked about Gregory Soto as someone that's a wild card for me. He's even more of a wild card now where, you know, if he pitches well, he might be a guy that's closing some games for them, depending on who's due up in the ninth inning for whoever they're facing. If it's a couple left-handed batters especially, he might get the ball there. And in fairness, Drew French talked on the Masson telecast on Thursday night, you know, one of the last spring games, and said that Soto's had a really nice spring. He said that CNL Perez had a really nice spring. So this is not me saying that this bullpen's a disaster, but if you're coupling this bullpen as it's presently constructed with some injuries with Kittredge, with the unknown of Felix Bautista and what exactly he's going to be ready for, and then you pair that with a starting rotation that doesn't have a horse in Corbin Burnes or everyone dreaming of the horse that Grayson Rodriguez could become one day, right? Then you look at it and it feels a little wanting. It leaves you feeling a little short. And
well, they don't feel as good as they were last May. When I said to my wife, this is the best team they've ever had. Yeah. I said that in late May. I'm like, this is as thick as it gets for having a number one starter, which they had at this time last year.
Sure.
They had a real guy. Rodriguez was a thing. Means was coming back.
Braddish pitched well in eight starts. Right.
So, like, where they were at Memorial Day, Preakness Memorial Day last year, I look at this and say, what Schuller said, they're going to hit the ball.
Yeah.
They're going to hit the ball.
And I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you transitioned to that, because as much negativity as I just spewed, and let me be clear, I was not laying out an argument for why the Orioles are only going to win 74 games. Far from it. They do have an offense to be excited about, and they do have so much young position talent that has not only made it when you're talking about Gunnar Henderson, when you're talking about Adley Rutschman over his first two calendar years in the major leagues. Now, whatever the second half of last year was is still something that lingers in the back of your mind, even with him having a good spring. But he's a two-time All-Star catcher. He did something right over his first 2 years in the major leagues. You have Jordan Westberg, who in his first full year in the major leagues made it to an All-Star game. You have Colton Cowser, who shook off a really rough 2023, more than a cup of coffee. I mean, he had 70 plate appearances, and it looked a lot like what Kobe Mayo looked like last August. He was second in the league in Rookie of the Year voting. So you have all of those pieces, and then throw Jackson Holliday into the mix, who by all accounts has had a good spring, and I think there's a lot of optimism.
He's not going back. He's here for good.
I'd be surprised. Right. I mean, I'd be really surprised. With Gunnar Henderson probably not going to be ready for opening day, there's a decent chance Jackson Holliday might be the starting shortstop for the first week of the season. So,
what kind of team are we fielding here this week? What the hell's going on?
Right. I mean, you know, the Gunnar thing, I'm not nearly as worried about that as, you know, some of my angst and just questions about Bautista right now, because, you know, you're being cautious with a rib cage issue. I mean, you don't want that to linger, that he's dealing with that in June and July. So, but you talk about Holliday, you talk about Heston Kerstad, Kobe Mayo, you know, made some headlines with his demotion and, you know, comments that I think.
Okay. Let's talk about that a little bit,
okay,
because he is a guy that they think is going to hit 200 home runs here before they have to pay him. Like, literally, right? I mean, that's what they believe.
I would think so. If not, I think they would have traded him already. But I think
he's got to hit him here.
He represents so much of where the Orioles are right now from a, you know, they're kind of caught in this in-between phase. And what I mean by that is not that they haven't played at a very high level the last couple years, but we all famously remember when they traded Trey Mancini and they traded Jorge Lopez at the trade deadline 3 years ago at this point in time. And Mike Elias kind of said, look, we had to make these moves, but it's liftoff from here. A lot of people interpreted that as the Orioles will be spending a lot of money in free agency and signing these big contracts and all of that. That hasn't come to fruition yet, and we can certainly debate the merits of that long term. But, you know, at that point in time, it was a clear signal that the rebuild phase of whatever the Orioles were was coming to an end. So at the same time, you have veteran players who have since approached free agency or left or traded in the case of Austin Hayes. And, you know, like last year at this time, we were talking a lot about Colton Cowser and how he was going to fit in because they still had their three incumbents of Mullins, Hayes, and Santander.
Well, it's changed a lot with Mullins and Hayes, right? I mean, just 12 months.
Right. Well, you know, but remember what happened. Austin Hayes gets hurt the first week or 10 days of the season. Cowser stepped into an everyday role, and he crushed it. He was their best player for 3 weeks. And Austin Hayes never got his job back, really. I mean, he started some games, and then, you know, they traded him at the trade deadline. So I think with Kobe Mayo, let me be clear, I completely understood the frustration he expressed. I don't think he meant it in any kind of a malicious way toward the organization. I think it was a very human response to being disappointed to be an option. But he acknowledged it didn't go well when he was called up last year. I mean, he struck out roughly half of his plate appearances. This wasn't going 4-for-40 with some rough luck. He was struggling to make contact. And we saw some of that with Cowser. We saw that with 2 years ago. We saw that with Jackson Holliday early last year especially. Sometimes that happens. So
saw it with Rutschman all last summer.
It's really easy in a vacuum to say.
It's hard to play Major League Baseball.
It is.
I saw Adam Jones tweet that the other day.
And
it's
remember,
not news to me.
3 years ago or 4 years ago, they could just insert someone in the lineup because you just had veteran placeholders at that point anyway. And you just said, hey, Adley, go play. Our expectations aren't anything right now. Go play. And Adley Rutschman struggled his first month, and then he figured it out. But the Orioles are in a position now where they're no longer a rebuilding team. They have high expectations. So it's not as easy as saying, oh, we're going to trade Ryan Mountcastle in the offseason and just hand a starting job to Kobe Mayo. You're trying to win games. So what would have been great would have been to see Mayo tear the cover off the ball this spring to the point where he gives them no choice but to put him on the opening day roster. And then maybe you could have traded a Ryan O'Hearn, right? You could have traded a Ramon Urias or someone of that ilk to clear a spot for him. But they're kind of in this in-between where you still need the older guys that are not going to be long-term pieces for you. But Mayo, who, barring a trade, is someone you envision being a long-term piece for you. But how do you find the appropriate point to transition there? And that's where it's tough. Like I said, I mean, we were talking about that same, you know, a very similar conversation about Colton Cowser a year ago at this time. But a month into the season, you know, with Hayes hurt and off to a bad start and Cowser tearing the cover off the ball, it was kind of all over at that point. You know, for all we know, Ryan Mountcastle might turn his ankle the third day of the season and Kobe Mayo is either called up then or shortly thereafter and it clicks and before you know it, he's in the everyday lineup. So we don't know exactly how it's going to play out, but I think, you know, that's where it's just kind of tricky for where they are right now. That
they've had adversity here that's going to cause a different script.
Yeah.
And you in the spring, I'm talking about.
Sure.
So starting with the pitching.
No question.
You know, and injuries.
No question.
I mean, Gunnar Henderson not being there next Thursday when we get there is, you know, I mean, I don't know what Rutschman is. I don't know what their pitching is. I'm not as bullish on them being a great team. I am okay with the fact that they didn't waste a lot of money in the offseason, and they're doing this. Well, let's compete, let's compete, let's compete, let's be in this, and let's make the team better as we go along. Because some of these young players are going to merge. Some are going to fall on their face. Mayo could be back up at the All-Star break and hit 22 home runs in the second half.
Sure,
like
Or he could be traded for an ace at the trade deadline. I mean, that's still, you know, we're not talking about that being impossible.
I wouldn't mind that either.
Yeah, you're still talking about him being a top 20 prospect in baseball. And, you know, I've seen some conjecture and, you know, fans and media types talking about, you know, you get to a point where are these guys, you know, these prospects that they've either dealt or they've held on to start to have diminished trade value. And maybe in some circles, at the same time,
Depends when you trade him.
Well, but it's also, who are we talking about here? I mean, Kyle Stowers and
Norby,
you know, Norby and even Joey Ortiz at his best was still more of a fringe top 100 prospect guy. So, you know, DL Hall, I think they would have loved to have held on to, but they had no faith that he could stay healthy. And guess what? In Milwaukee, he hasn't been able to stay healthy. So, you know, I think even knowing that Burns walked after 1 year, you still do that deal 100 times out of 100. I'm still okay with that. I don't think Joey Ortiz isn't going to be Gunnar Henderson light, right? I mean, he's going to be solid, good defensively. I think he's got a chance to be a starter, or, you know, maybe his long-term fit is as a really good super utility guy that can play three infield spots and start 4 or 5 days a week. I mean, Melvin Mora did that for a long time for the Orioles at a time where they weren't very good overall, but he was a heck of a player for quite a while. But, you know, I think, you know, you're just, you look at this and you still have to remember, if you're Mike Elias, and he has not shied away from this, as much as I hear fans and media say he doesn't say anything, you know, he talks a lot without saying anything. You'll hear people say that about his press conferences. He has never shied away from the idea that he is looking at this with a long-term view, in the sense that he's not going to be all in and jeopardize their long-term health as an organization just to try to incrementally improve their chances to win in 2025. Now, that might hurt you at times, but at the same time, you hear me say it all the time. Trade deadline, we'll spend so much time talking about it, and we'll inevitably do it again this summer. How often do you really, of all the deals that are made, how many of them really truly move the needle to a dramatic degree? Maybe one or two around
baseball. Well,
this is
where you're giving me away and saying, well, if you're waiting on a big deal in the season to change the trajectory of the season, that rarely happens.
Well,
and it does.
You have to be good at that. I mean, if there's seven, you know,
and you also pay a lot too.
If they're two games over 500 at the trade deadline, they're probably not trading for an ace. Now, if they're, and who knows with the American League? I'm not sure there's American League East. I'm not sure there's going to be any team that's close to 100 wins. You know, and that's part of this too.
Well, the Yankees are diminished.
Mm-hmm. Red Sox are really interesting, but they still have, you know, they're coming off of a lower floor. You know, they still.
And you are the Mr. Bueller and all that. If you had Bueller right now, would you feel better about it?
I'd feel better. I'm not saying that means they'd be a 100-win outfit.
Better than what? Better than,
I feel better
than
about
Morton and better than
upside.
Sugano?
I'd like to see a pitcher with a little more upside. I mean, Walker Buehler, before the second Tommy John surgery, is one of the best pitchers in the National League for a 3 or 4 year period. Now, he could stink for them, but for me, it's looking at it in terms of if you're in the business of 1 year contracts, you know, you had two that, you know, in the case of Morton and Sugano, might work out, and they might be excellent number three and number four starters for you. But in the case of Buehler, there might be a higher bust rate with him given his health history, but the upside might be that he actually could be your ace for a year, and whether you sign him long-term or let him go the route of Burns, you do it.
Well, we're wondering the bust rate on Batista right now. You know, whether we're really going to get a year out of him, what
sure.
kind of year, you know?
Well,
and I think the same thing would be said for Buehler if you had signed him.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, look. There's no such thing as a risk-free pitcher at this point in time. I mean, there just isn't. Gerrit Cole was considered a horse and very durable until he's not anymore, and he's not pitching this year.
Well, look,
so,
next week we're going to sign Sid Finch because so, it's April Fool's Day coming up.
But all of that being acknowledged and having some questions and maybe me not being as optimistic as I was 6 weeks ago just because of some of the attrition they have endured over the course of spring training, I still think this is a good club. I still think they have as good a chance as anyone in the AL East to win the division because I think all five teams in their own ways are still trying to win. I think Tampa Bay quietly made a couple decent moves, kind of off-the-radar moves, and they're getting a lot of their starting pitching back that was injured in the second half of 23, you know, headlined by Shane McClanahan and some other guys that they're adding to the mix. So I think this is one of those years that feels like the year where a lot of people write off the Rays and then suddenly they're an 88-win team that's fighting for a wild card, if not the division. So, you know, I think the Yankees have a lot of volatility now because of their pitching injuries, and they're dealing with a lot of older guys. They're kind of the opposite of the Orioles. The Orioles are waiting for, you know, younger guys to reach their ceiling, whereas the Yankees have guys that they're trying to either
squeeze something out of,
kind of revitalize their career, like a Paul Goldschmidt coming, not revitalizing his career, but coming off of a down year, you know, for his high standards, and some, you know, I mean, Giancarlo Stanton's already out, and who knows when he's going to be back. So they have a lot of older guys they're really counting on.
It's a great 2019 team.
Sure. Hey, to their credit, it was a great 2024 team. They made it to the World Series, right? I mean, you know, I'm not going to sit here and be too disparaging. And, you know, they made some other moves, you know, Devin Williams in their pen. But they've got a lot of questions, too. The Red Sox have questions. I mean, go look at Toronto. As much as we've kind of, you know, you and I've talked about them a lot. I mean, their payrolls, go look at their payroll. They're spending a lot of money, but they're coming off of a year where things didn't go well.
They're trying, though.
And, I mean, okay, they're trying, but who have they landed? They didn't get Juan Soto, even though they really tried.
I'm telling you, dude, I was in Canada the night that they thought that they had Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah,
that night that Geddy Lee did his book thing, I was there that night. Everybody in the crowd was buzzing about Ohtani coming to Toronto.
Meanwhile, Vlad Guerrero Jr. is in a contract year and has, you know, they had an artificial deadline, which can always be picked up again. I mean, I always kind of laugh at those types of fake deadlines that are set.
Well, if they stink, he'll be the guy they deal in July, right?
Yeah, but they're trying to be good. You know, they're trying to win again. So all five of these teams have things going for them and things where you could say, oh, wow, that could really be a pressure point. That could really be a downfall. That doesn't mean you're going to lose 100 games, but if you're looking for a scenario of how you miss the playoffs or you're fighting for the third wild card rather than having a chance to win the division, you know, they all have some elements like that. So all of that being said, and as gloom and doom as I sounded for 60%
of this conversation. The guy with the press pass doesn't like the team. I'm going to tell you right now. That's the truth.
I love their position talent. I think their starting rotation is good enough to navigate the first few months of the season and still win games. But now with the bullpen being shaky in concert with that, that's where the pitching, it's gotten a little too
thin.
A little too ifs and buts and maybe, and if that guy does this and if this guy, you know, there's a little bit too much of that going on for my liking. When in turn you look at the position side where, I'm not saying everything's perfect on that front, let's be clear, but man, the potential for this lineup to be really, really, really good. And one of the very best in baseball. So that said, you don't want to be leading 7-6 in the seventh inning and you're dumping games because you have no idea who's going to pitch the seventh or eighth, let alone the ninth.
27 outs. So that's still where gonna get 27
that's
outs.
Where right now I'm definitely more uneasy about that than I was 3 or 4 weeks ago where, hey, again, I was kind of positive with the bullpen, but you know, this Batista thing just feels a little, I hope it's just them being coy and just trying to maintain a competitive edge, as we hear teams say all the time in this day and age. But, you know, him pitching, what, I think it was 4 times in his first 11 or 12 days from the point he made the debut and then going a full week. And I get it. They said he's throwing on the backfields. But when you were very explicit in Brandon Hyde saying want him to pitch 6 or 7 times in the Grapefruit League and he's at 4 heading into the last weekend where there's only a couple more games left, you know, that makes me take pause to say, okay, are you just really, really slow playing it and being very careful, but he's still fine? Or is there some kind of even just a minor issue that's slowing him down here where, again, we're not at 12 or 13 months where you say, okay, I kind of hear that. You know, he should kind of be at the point now where you're really taking the restrictor plate off and letting him air it out at 102 necessarily, but being ready to pitch in major league games. That's what I'm saying.
Because they start in a couple days. You going to eat that pizza? You going to look at it?
I am. What are you do? I had to do all the talking. You can.
I've already 2 pieces into this thing here. I've been after it. We're at Pizza John's. This is the pizza. Luke is eating the pizza. Oh. It is delicious. This is his pizza here. This is the meat sauce and pepperoni. We would highly recommend. You can order Pizza John's from anywhere in the world. Just you can get it. You can bake them at home. You can pick them up and play. You can pick it up here, take it home and make it. It always tastes better here, though. I would say that. Cheese steaks. I haven't gotten any French fries and gravy. I'm waiting for Shining to get here. Dave Shining from the Washington Post is going to join us at some point. Luke and I are here. We and I are going to be going to Toronto this week. One of us will be in the press box. The other guy will be buying tickets for as little Canadian dollars as I can. You ready for Canada, or you're not? No, you good?
I'm ready.
Passports out?
Again, I'm excited. I'm very excited for baseball. I'm still overall optimistic about the Orioles. My argument has been I'm not as optimistic as I was at the
start of
spring.
You don't love the team. You don't need no press pass. You don't love the team enough. We're at Essex. I'm going to let him eat his pizza. Luke Jones is here. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We have the Magic 8-Ball Scratch-Offs to give away. It's been a lucky batch. Pizza John's 410-687-7733. The multi-talented musician, writer, the artist known as Dave Shinen has arrived on the scene just in time to get some leftover pizza or fresh pizza for him and his lovely family in Butcher's Hill. They ain't got no pizza like this down the city, man. You got to come out to the county. We're in Essex. Back when I was a young man, I said I put the sex in Essex. But my mom would call it Essex. Essex. You going to Essex? Who's going to Essex? Dundalk guys in Essex. We're at Pizza John's. Back for more. We're talking baseball and pitching and arms and relief pitching and whether they're going to let me back into the country from Canada. Stay with us.